Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Cody?
Doing great, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Tuesday morning here in our fair city. It's a cold one. How are you today?
It's a little chilly this morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, it is December.
It's a little chilly.
December, you can expect that. The only thing is, you know, this time of the year, I like it like this when it's cold. But after Christmas, I'm ready for it just to not be cold anymore, basically. I like the winter. I like it for about a month. And then, but, you know, as you know, then we got to go through January, February. I mean, the real dead of winter is still upon us. Winter is coming.
Yeah. Winter, getting very close.
But it's, you know, it's still a good day. It's a good day.
Good Monday Night Football game last night as the Seattle Seahawks cover the 3. I believe that's another board bet win for me, Cam.
Yeah.
This train is rolling now.
I got to quit letting you force me into board bets.
It's almost a blowout at this point with the way this is shaping up.
No, I mean, we're still pretty much even. I mean, you're up one on me, you know.
Right, but I'm saying the way it's shaping up.
It's like 11 to 10 or something.
Yeah, but the way it's shaping up.
I'm not ready to just give up on my Cowboys yet.
Okay. I mean, the Cowboys are going to find themselves in a weird situation. We'll talk about that at the end of this hour when we start looking ahead to next week. But the Cowboys are going to find themselves in a situation where they might just start taking games off because they only need to win the last two games to get in the playoffs. Thursday night against the Bears, the Cowboys might just rest their starters. They might not even care. All they got to do is beat the Eagles week 16 and then beat the Redskins week 17 at home. And they are 8-8 in the division champions.
And that's why, once again, it's a shame that we have to let an NFC East team into the playoffs.
Yeah. But last night was fun. You had, you know, a big swing from the Seahawks potentially being, I guess if they'd have lost that game, they'd have been down to the 6th seed. Instead, they win, and they're up to the 2 seed and in control of the NFC West. The Vikings open the door up a little bit, Cody, for your Rams. Your Rams now have a fighting chance to steal that last wild card spot. Only a game behind, and the tiebreaker is going to get weird because if the season shakes out the way it looks like it could shake out, both teams would have the same conference record, and then we'd start getting down into like common opponents and strength of schedule and all that stuff. So I don't know who would get the nod there. I would assume the Rams would, since they play in the NFC West, because their schedule is a lot tougher, right? I mean, you know, playing in the NFC West. But I don't know. But the door is ajar now. If the Vikings would have won, it would have pretty much been shut. But Rams still alive. So last night, despite the board bet loss, was a good result for the Rams trying to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah. Vikings 8-4 now. Rams 7-5. I don't know. I don't feel good about the Rams getting to the playoffs. So
okay.
I think the Vikings are a much better team. As much as I'd like to see the Rams in there, I don't think it's going to happen.
Sure. And if I had to pick right now, I'm still picking the Vikings as well. I was just saying that the door is still ajar.
The door is, there is a you know, you can see through the crack in the door.
Now, the Rams were one of the winners last night, but, you know, they have to go, they host Seattle this week, this Sunday night. We get another good Sunday night game. These primetime games have been good. A good Sunday night game against the Seahawks. Then they go to the Cowboys and still have to go on the road to the 49ers. So they have to find a way to go 3-1 in a pretty tough four-game stretch. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Problem for the Rams is they got to take care of business, and they don't usually do that. At least not this year. They have not taken care of the business when they needed to.
Big loser of the night last night, the 49ers, who go from you know, feeling like they were the one seed to now they're sitting at the five seed. And now they're looking like, oh, no, we might let this division slip through our hands because, you know, they have a game left against the Seahawks, but that game is going to be in Seattle. And it's shaping up to look like Seattle wins the tiebreaker over them if they both finish 1-1 against each other. So a big win last night for the Seahawks. They played a little ugly in the first half. That pick six that Russell Wilson threw and then got batted back, and then he batted it back into the arms of a Vikings defender. That was bad luck, but also just bad play on his part. But something you don't usually see with the Vikings, something we haven't seen really the last 5 years, is them not being able to stop the run. And last night, Chris Carson and Rashad Penny ran all over them, and the Vikings could do nothing to stop it. Their secondary, Xavier Rhodes, went from elite corner 2 years ago to now he's getting picked on, and teams are throwing at him, and to the point where he's on the sideline throwing things, frustrated, blowing off the post-game press conference, saying he's out of here. Like, the defense has fallen pretty far for the Vikings. I'm not blaming last night on Kirk Cousins. I'm blaming last night on the defense and Dalvin Cook for fumbling.
Yeah, I saw some people trying to blame Kirk Cousins. I'm like, I mean, he got you to 30 points, kept you in the game, you know.
He scored 23 of them because of the, I guess 24 of them because of the pick six, and he did have a chance with the ball, you know, with 3 minutes left, and, you know, picked up one first down, then got stopped on two short throws. So I'm not going to say Kirk Cousins played great by any means, and his two touchdowns came not garbage time, but garbage adjacent whenever they had fallen down by 17 points and it was time to go. And one of those was on a busted throw to Laquon Treadwell. So I don't think Kirk Cousins played great by any means last night. But
yeah,
I don't,
he's not the reason they lost.
Right. I'm not blaming him for that. If your defense gives up 37 points, then, yeah, I am going to hold you more accountable. As, you know, Dalvin Cook fumbling whenever the game had gotten tied and really letting the Seahawks take the lead. Kirk Cousins, one interception. Should have been a catch by Stephon Diggs. Diggs got bullied on the play and maybe interfered with, but loses the interception. The next thing you knew, the Seahawks were up 17. Then the Vikings stormed back, though, and it looks like they might be able to get that victory, at least get the push if you bet on it, or if you had the plus three or plus three and a half, then Dan Bailey missed the extra point, and Vikings end up giving a field goal with 20 seconds left and lose by seven. So Seattle moves to 10-2 and takes control of the NFC West. That was a fun game, though.
I thought so. I was upset when they missed the extra point.
At least that didn't end in a four-point game. At least they got the other field goal.
They kicked the field goal anyway. I was just hoping for Cousins to have a couple of shots at a bomb there at the end.
Yeah.
But they fumbled the ball, and, you know, that was it.
I wonder if gamblers have been more upset, the missed extra point and you lose by four, or to be a three-point game and the Seahawks kick a field goal with 20 seconds left to cover. Which one, I guess, would be more upsetting?
I think the missed extra point is more upsetting.
Okay.
Because you understand a field goal. You know, it happens.
It's part
of the game.
20 seconds left, though.
But a missed extra point, I mean, it's just, that hurts. That's supposed to be money. It's supposed to be, you know, you just tack it on.
It's supposed to be extra. Yeah, it's just here's a bonus. Here's an extra point.
When a team scores, you always say, it's 7-0. You just assume it is, not 6-0. They're harder these days. NFL kickers seem to miss a lot of extra points, more than they used to.
Big win for the Packers last night, having the Vikings lose that game. Stephon Diggs didn't play great. Dalvin Cook didn't play great. Adam Thielen didn't play at all. And they lost. So at least we're going to get a couple races. It looked like the NFC was going to be pretty much set in terms of the playoffs, but maybe not. Now the Vikings have to hold off the Rams, and the Seahawks and 49ers are in a blood feud to see who gets that NFC West and first-round bye. Big game this weekend for the 49ers as they head to New Orleans to play the Saints.
They seem to be in a big game every week now.
Seems that way.
After their early schedule wasn't that tough, but now they're really getting tested.
Now I find myself just wondering, like, what the hell to do in these upcoming power rankings. Like, who is the elite of the elite? Like, I feel pretty good about the Ravens at one. After that, I don't know what to do. We'll do our MySpace Top 8 NFL Week 13 NFL Power Rankings from the NFL after the NFL weekend. You got your list? Can you get it ready during the break?
Yeah, I got it.
We'll come back. We'll do the MySpace Top 8 and our NFL Power Rankings. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Mighty Morphin Power. Rankings. Rankings.
All right, Cody, hit me with your week 13 MySpace top eight. Who's in your top eight?
I'm keeping the same top eight teams this week, except I'm just reshuffling the order a little bit. So Kansas City, despite a good performance against Oakland, and Buffalo, despite a good performance against the Cowboys, do not crack my top eight.
Okay.
Number eight for me, I go with the Packers. They dropped one spot this week, not because of anything they did, just because out of these eight teams, I think they're the worst one. Number seven, I dropped the Vikings down to seven from number five after last night's loss to Seattle. I bumped the Texans up to number six after a dominant performance against the Patriots for the most part until the fourth quarter. Texans now 8-4, same record as the Vikings. As far as they're playing right now, I mean, the Texans, they've got a good pass rush. Everybody gave them hell for getting rid of Clowney, and they seem to have found a couple of pass rushers now, so they're getting after quarterbacks. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best players in the game. I think the Texans look pretty good right now. Number five, I go with the New Orleans Saints. They move up one spot by default. Again, nothing that they really did. They beat the Falcons. Patriots drop to four. I dropped them from two to four.
Okay.
The offense has some real problems.
Oh, does it?
It appears so, but the good thing is, I've told you, Tom's got it figured out. Tom's aware that the offense is struggling, so he's going to work it out.
Okay.
Self-awareness
is key.
Yeah, obviously he knows they have problems, so I trust them to be there at the end of the day. Number three, the San Francisco 49ers, staying in the same spot from last week. They lost to the Ravens, but it was a tight game. I got no problems with having them at three, but I jumped the Seahawks up to two. So the Seahawks jumped two spots. They beat the Vikings. I think out of the two lost teams right now in the NFC, I like the Seahawks the best. I've kind of liked them more than the 49ers all along, and now I'm going to reflect that in my power rankings. Number one, the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. So no new teams, just reshuffling.
Just a little reshuffling.
Okay. You feel good about your eight?
I feel okay about my eight.
Okay.
Although the Chiefs and the Bills, you know, the Bills just really haven't shown them any respect all year. But, I can only fit eight. Sorry.
It's not the MySpace top 12. You know?
No, it's not. It's top eight.
Top eight. You got to make some tough cuts every now and then.
And I'm tired of rewarding teams just for beating the Cowboys.
It's true.
They're 6-6.
Yeah.
The Jets hammered them. So, sorry, Buffalo.
You did what you're supposed to, Buffalo.
Yeah.
I actually do have a little reshuffling in mind. I got two new teams in there. First up, congratulations on making it back inside the top five to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They are back at number five. They look healthy. The secondary is looking good. The Chiefs, I think, are going to be one of the teams that you look at in the AFC and be like, oh, we kind of forgot about these guys. The Chiefs will get my number five spot. The secondary has improved. The offense, I'm still worried about the running game, but you know they just have an embarrassment of talent. On that offensive side of the ball with Mahomes. Big play talent, especially with Mahomes, Kelsey, and Tyreek Hill. I put the Chiefs at number five. Number four for me, I'd like to welcome in your Tennessee Titans. Wow. Number four.
Wow.
Only one loss, 5-1 with Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if you want to go to stats. Check out the NFL stats and see who is the highest-rated passer in the NFL. Would you have to go do that right quick as we wait?
These are supposed to be unbiased rankings.
I'm asking you to go look to see who the best quarterback in the NFL is based on passer rating.
I'm assuming the only reason you're saying it is because it's Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. Would you want to go look at the quarterback efficiency ratings that take other adjusted things into account, the windows you're throwing in, the other efficiency things? Would you like to take a guess who number one is there as well?
No.
That's Ryan Tannehill. Good guess by you, Cody. What about the best offenses in the red zone? Who scores the most touchdowns in the red zone? Do you want to take a guess who's number one there? Would you like to take a guess who number one is when it comes to red zone offense? Cody?
Nope.
Cam, would you like to take a guess who the number one team when it comes to scoring touchdowns in the red zone?
The Atlanta Falcons?
Not the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry, they're not in the top eight from it looks like.
The Titans?
The Titans are number one. 71.9% of the time they're in the red zone, they score touchdowns. That is the best. That is the best in the NFL.
Looks to me like he's just kind of been beaten up on bad defenses.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Only threw for 193 against Tampa Bay, 182 mm-hmm. against the Colts, mm-hmm. 181 against the Chiefs. He can't even crack 200 yards against decent defense.
You know who would kill for those numbers? Tom Brady. Tom Brady would kill for those numbers. Who has been worse than Mitch Trubisky since week five? How about the Dakota rankings? You want to take the Dakota rankings into account?
Nobody
whatever
knows
the
what
hell
that
it is. It explains what it is. I don't know
nobody
what it means.
Nobody has any idea what that is.
If you'll pull it up, hold on, give me 1 second. I'll pull up the Dakota rankings and tell you what it is. Hold on, one
I
second.
I can't believe you're putting them as your number four team.
I'm giving you these stats. I already
that
told
is,
you who the best running
I mean,
back
that
in the
is,
NFL
is
yesterday.
That is so ridiculous.
All hell King Henry. They got the best running back in
these
the NFL.
These are supposed to be unbiased
rankings.
They
have one of the
rankings.
Five best quarterbacks in the NFL. Their offense is scoring touchdowns at a higher clip than anyone in the NFL.
Against the Jags.
Since Ryan Tannehill took over quarterback, Cam, do you want to guess who the second highest scoring team is in the NFL? Number one is the Baltimore Ravens. Shout out to Lamar Jackson. Best quarterback this year. MVP. You want to take a guess at who number two is in terms of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL?
No way, it's the Tennessee Titans.
It is the Tennessee Titans. Wow, Cam, you did a great job. So, I mean, I don't know what else I need to tell you. You need to get out of your...
Since when? You just
get it out of your mind that Marcus Mariota is still the quarterback.
You just
He's
take
not,
this
bro.
One date and you tell me that they're the second highest scoring team in the
Since
NFL?
Since Ryan Tannehill became the starting quarterback. Whenever they became a different team, bro.
Okay.
I think that's pretty fair.
So we
it's
don't,
not a
all right, yeah, so we don't count the Denver game, right?
He didn't start. That was Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Okay,
that was Marcus Mariota. He played all three. He played the first three quarters. He got shut out. What are you talking about?
He scored the last 3 weeks: 35 against the Chiefs, 42 against the Jags, 31 against the Colts.
Yeah.
But one of those wasn't his. One of them was a blocked punt, right?
Okay. So?
Okay. So other than that, I mean, he put up 23 points against the Chargers.
Yeah.
27 against the Bucs.
Chargers have a great secondary.
20 and a loss to the Panthers. Where are you getting these numbers?
The internet?
I mean, I'm not seeing anything that really impresses me.
If you want me to link you to all of this to show you my work, I will. I have the links.
You just wait till Derrick Henry gets banged up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Derrick Henry's the only reason that offense is running.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree. I told you that Derrick Henry's the best running back in the AFC and, probably a top three guy in the entire NFL. So you're Tennessee Titans.
How are you going to put your credibility at risk? Well, you're one of the most credible guys out there, and you're gonna show bias.
I'm not showing bias. I gave you the stats.
You're going to put the Titans at number four?
Cam, did you not hear the stats?
I mean, this is just ridiculous.
I heard some stats.
Who's your number four?
The New England Patriots.
You want to look at their offense compared to our offense?
I'm
you
not worried
do that?
About their offense. It's one of the best defenses in football.
Oh, is it? They just got shredded by the Houston Texans.
Tom Brady will get it figured out.
They got shredded by the Houston Texans.
You mean to tell me? So you're going to have three teams ahead of the Titans. You're going to have the Ravens, the Seahawks, and the 49ers, right?
That is correct.
You're telling me the Titans are better?
Now that we are here, let me give you my number three.
Oh,
the Seattle Seahawks, I know they're hot. I still have them behind the 49ers. I know they beat them head-to-head, but George Kittle didn't play, and I've said many times the 49ers are a different team with George Kittle. That's my explanation. Cam, is that a fair explanation? I've said that. George Kittle is the guy who makes that offense go. They went toe-to-toe with Baltimore in Baltimore. If that's in San Francisco, I think they probably would have won that game. I'm still giving the 49ers the edge at number two. Number one, Baltimore Ravens. Now, what were you about to say, Cody?
So you give the 49ers an edge. They've got an injury, but the win the Titans have had over these backup quarterbacks, that doesn't count, right?
What backup quarterbacks?
The Colts? They don't even have Andrew Luck.
Jacoby Brissett's been starting all year,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, but they don't have Andrew Luck. You know, it's not the same.
I mean, it's not the same as a backup quarterback either.
I mean, the Chargers, they might as well have a backup quarterback.
If you want to play that game, the Titans are 5-1 with a backup quarterback. Look at that roster depth.
Look at the quarterbacks the Titans have beaten. Jameis, Philip Rivers, who's nearly dead.
You love Philip Rivers. You've said all year you love Philip Rivers.
Mahomes in his first game back.
Yep, Patrick Mahomes.
Whoever's playing quarterback at Jacksonville.
Super Bowl champion Nick Foles.
Whoever's there.
Super Bowl champion Nick Foles.
I mean, I don't know. Baker Mayfield.
You want to run down the list of quarterbacks the Patriots have beaten while we're doing that?
Why do you act like I'm a Patriots fan?
I'm just comparing my number four to your number four.
I don't care about the Patriots.
I'm comparing your number four team to my number four team. That's how rankings work.
I feel like my number four team would defeat your number four.
Last time they played, they didn't. They got dominated.
Your team's got five losses, bro.
They got one whenever they started Ryan Tannehill.
So we just don't count the rest of the year?
I think we have to take a snapshot of where the teams are at right now. 5-1. I'm not holding the losses with Matt Moore against the Chiefs. I'm not doing that.
You should. It's a full season here.
The snapshot of how you're playing now, this isn't college football. This isn't the college football rankings, bro. This is the NFL power rankings.
I mean, they've been a little better since Mariota was benched.
5-1.
I mean, they've
been, I just told you the stats of where the offense ranks.
They've been better. Why can't we just say, yeah, they've been better. They've been quite a bit better. Let's see how
this
plays out.
They have been quite a bit better. They just now got into my top five. Congratulations to the Tennessee Titans.
I'm liking the way this looks. Why don't we just let it play out?
You know, letting it play out.
Why can't it just be that? Why does it have to be just
why
so
do you want? Why do you want us
so
to
arrogant.
Have to be humble and scared? Why don't you put your chest out?
It's not about being scared. It's about having a little sportsmanship.
It is having sportsmanship. I didn't put them at number three. I gave the Seahawks proper credit.
I mean, the arrogance is just...
There's no arrogance. I just met you with fact after fact after fact. Stat after stat after stat.
You know the deal with stats. You can pick apart stats all day long.
Pick apart the Ryan Tannehill stats.
To fit whatever narrative
pick
you want.
Pick apart the red zone stats. Why are the Titans the best red zone scoring team in the league?
Bro, if I wanted to find some stats about why the Denver Broncos are the best team in the league, I'm sure I could find some things they're good at.
I bet you can't find anything they're the best at.
I'm sure there's some things where they're decent at.
Decent does not equal best in the league.
Stats are stats. I mean, they're just numbers.
They're just there. Well said by you. Stats are stats.
Beat some good teams, you know?
Beat the Chiefs, my number five.
You beat the Chiefs are not. I mean, they're not even in my top eight.
I think that's more egregious than you trying to get mad about the Titans being at number four.
I mean, beat somebody good and then maybe you know, win your last three games and maybe you get a little respect.
We're gonna one up. You're going to win our last four games.
You better watch out for the Raiders first.
We're going to go to Oakland and we're going to kick their ass.
That's going to be a very inspired team after what's happened to them the last 2 weeks.
That team looks very inspired. You're right. They look like they are just ready to go, and they're playing hard. You're right. They are very inspired. They followed up that embarrassment against the Jets by looking very inspired as they were losing 38-3 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That was rock bottom.
Yeah.
That was rock bottom. They're going to bounce back.
Okay.
I fully expect John Gruden's team to be ready to play.
My five is my five. Kansas City, Tennessee, Seattle, San Francisco, Baltimore.
Just ridiculous.
I give the Titans a slight edge over the Chiefs. They beat them head-to-head. It's not the end-all, be-all, I understand, but you know what they do well, the Chiefs can't really stop. They can't stop the run, so if they played again, they'd run the ball down their throats again.
Seahawks beat the 49ers
head-to-head. I explained that. There was no George Kittle.
I'm sure the Chiefs were probably missing a piece or two.
I think the margin between the Seahawks and 49ers is razor thin. If I could put them both at number two, Cody, I would. But somebody has to be number two. Somebody has to be number three.
You could do 2A, 2B.
Well, somebody's still A. Somebody's still going to be first. Whoever's tied at 2A is obviously the team that the person likes a little bit more.
It's supposed to be viewed equally, though.
But they're not, because A comes before B.
You just put it in alphabetical order, you know. San Francisco comes before Seattle in the alphabet.
But then somebody would say, well, why don't you do 49ers and Seahawks and just go by the last team name?
Well, doesn't four come before S too?
Yeah, I guess. Depends.
I've just lost all respect for these rankings at this point.
I don't think it's far-fetched to say the Titans are the second-best team in the AFC, bro. I didn't put them ahead of the Ravens. I didn't help put them ahead of the 49ers or the Seahawks. I put them number four.
Do you think anyone else in America would put them there?
If you're taking a snapshot of how they're playing now?
Did you
watch the NFL Network yesterday, bro, all day long? The Titans threaten the AFC. That was what they debated. Go look up their NFL, what is it, Wake Up Football, Good Morning Football, whatever the hell it is. They did a whole big segment about how the Titans are coming, how the Titans are here.
Are you telling me there's no bias in that ranking?
I gave you the stats.
There's zero bias?
I gave you the stats.
So there's a little bias.
Did I give you the stats?
And you admit to a little bias,
Did
right?
I give you the stats?
You gave me the stats. Okay. You admit to a little bias?
I came with the stats. I came with facts.
Are you prepared to say you admit to a little bit of bias there?
I'm not admitting anything, nor am I denying anything. Okay. I'm here presenting stats.
I think everybody knows what that answer means. If you take a radio host in Iowa, is he going to?
I bet they love what's going on in Iowa. I bet Iowa fans love what's going on in Nashville.
Why?
We're playing Big Ten football. We're running the ball down people's throats, hitting them with play action. That's what we're doing. Also, I mean, I'm pretty sure it lines up. Also, Ryan Tannehill started the same time we got our first-round pick on the field. So, I mean, there's two things we can point to as why this turnaround happened. Got our quarterback, got our first-round pick on the field. We've lost one time since then.
I got something else you can point to.
What's that?
A weak schedule.
Okay. Just do the same thing to the Patriots. That's all I ask. Who your number four team is, do the same thing to them.
They get a benefit of the doubt.
Oh, okay.
Because they're winners at the end of the day.
Oh, interesting.
The Titans, not.
Interesting.
I mean, it's the truth. Yeah. Just pointing out facts, bro.
Yeah.
You're pointing out facts, I'm pointing out facts. Patriots are winners. Titans are 8-8, historically.
2018, sure. That same line of thinking rode you right into the ditch with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
So rode me right into a Super Bowl win when you said that the Chiefs were going to beat them.
Yep.
So I won that.
You want to put the Patriots on the board for a Super Bowl championship?
I won that board bet last year.
You want to put them on there for
you
now?
You were riding Patrick Mahomes all year long.
You want to do it?
If you put the Titans on there.
No, Patriots. You said they're winners.
Put the Titans on
there. You said they're winners.
That's my number four team. Titans are your number four team. How about who finishes with a better record?
Well, you have a two-game lead.
Well.
Three-game lead.
Well, don't be so confident then.
That's apples to oranges.
Not really.
Yeah.
You're confident in your team.
I'm not sitting
You sound
here
like the most confident guy in the world right now.
I'm not sitting here talking about them being winners.
I mean, deserving the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I know. You act as if that matters.
I don't know if I've ever heard
a guy. It's 2019.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody
be
more confident.
Patriots were winners in 2018.
I mean, you sound like the most confident guy I've ever heard right now. So just go ahead, ride with the Titans.
We'll wait to see if they play.
Yeah, if they play in the playoffs, take the Titans.
We'll wait to see if
they play.
You're
taking the Titans if they
play? We'll wait to see if they play.
Let's just go ahead and put it out now. If they play.
We'll wait to see if they play. Got to make sure my team's healthy when we get there. We'll wait to see if they play. Yeah. I'm not going to be scared.
I'm not worried about if my team's healthy. You know why?
Because you have 10 different teams, and one of them is bound to be healthy?
No, first of all, because they're not my team. But second of all, because they're winners. I know they'll win either way.
Okay.
Because that's what they do. They win.
You can put them on the...
It's an established culture.
You can put them on the board as a Super Bowl champion if you want.
It's an established culture. Okay. The NFC's chock full of good teams this year, and the Ravens are a real challenger.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to say they're a Super Bowl champion, but they're better than the Titans.
Okay. Not in my power rankings. Patriots aren't in my top five.
Where are they?
They've got a worse version of Mitch Trubisky playing quarterback right now. And
a worse version of Mitch Trubisky.
Look up the stats since week four, bro.
Stats, yeah. That's all that matters.
It's
all about stats.
That's how you grade performance sometimes.
Right. That's all that matters at all.
Sometimes that's how you grade performance.
It doesn't matter that we're talking about Tom Brady versus Mitch Trubisky. The names don't matter. Yeah. It's just the stats, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You are what you are.
If that's what you believe, go ahead.
Many people sat there when Michael Jordan was playing with the Wizards. The Wizards are going to make the playoffs, bro, and if the Wizards get in, they got Michael Jordan. They'll win the championship. He's Michael Jordan. And then eventually you realize, oh, wait, people get old. And that's what's happened here. That's
you know
what's
who didn't
to.
Get old? Steve McNair.
What is that? What is that supposed to mean?
It's just a shot to your heart.
Okay.
It's for you being so arrogant this segment.
R.I.P.
I didn't want to say it, but it needed to be said.
That's fine. R.I.P. R.I.P. At least he never assaulted a trainer. He's my quarterback, okay?
You're talking about Peyton Manning?
He's my quarterback. You don't talk about Steve.
Talking about Peyton Manning.
You don't talk
or Tom
about
Brady.
Steve. Whoever wants to wear the shoe. You don't talk about my quarterback. Steve's my guy. R.I.P. R.I.P.
You're talking about my guy getting old.
So Brady's your guy now?
No, he's not my guy.
Make up your mind.
I respect what he's done.
Make up your mind. Is he your guy or is he your guy? Is he not? You called him your team. You called him your guy. Which one is it?
I misspoke. I have a great appreciation for watching him play the game.
Oh, okay.
That's all I mean.
Yeah.
A great appreciation for watching him play the game.
Yeah.
Once
the Patriots start losing, it no longer are the Patriots your guys anymore.
You're such an ageist. You just think when guys get old, they're used up. They're used goods.
I think that's what happens in sports, yes.
They're no good.
That is what happens.
You should respect your elders.
You should be self-aware, or at least aware of your idols, whenever they don't have it anymore.
I don't have idols. That's against the Ten Commandments. It says, "Thou shalt not have idols before me." I think it was Jesus that said that. I'm not sure who wrote it.
I'm pretty sure Moses was the one
Moses.
Who wrote it. Is that right? Moses had the idols, right? Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Moses.
No, the idols, the commandments. Came down from the mountain. But I don't think it was Jesus. I think it was God that said it.
Moses came down from
Old
a mountain
Testament
with
stuff.
A with a stone tablet.
Yeah.
And it just...
yeah, this is Old Testament stuff, though. So it wouldn't be Jesus.
How did I know he came down from a mountain?
I mean, that's just what was written. I hope you're proud of yourself for what you said about Steve.
I'm not.
I hope you're
I'm
proud
not
of
proud of myself.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
You drove me to that point.
Yeah.
You pushed me to it. I don't feel good about saying it.
Yeah. I hope you feel real great about saying it.
I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pushed me there.
What did I do?
You just for three days now.
I've
2 days.
You presented you with facts, and you couldn't handle the facts.
Just.
You are the definition of not being able to take the heat, so having to get out of the kitchen.
I'm not having to get out of the kitchen. I just like a little bit of humility.
I was just giving stats.
Same thing I was saying yesterday.
That'll wrap up our NFL power rankings. We'll take a look ahead to Week 14 next. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. A little bit of breaking news, Cam. Hit the alarm. Presidential race gets a little bit lighter. Appears that Kamala Harris has dropped out of her quest to get the nomination for the Democratic Party.
Hmm. Kamala Harris out, huh?
Yep.
Well, how about that? I wonder when Joe Biden's going to be out.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know, I used to have these blonde hairs on my legs, and they used to get wet in the pool, and the kids would come up and rub my legs, and then they'd sit in my lap. I mean, what is that? What is going on with that guy? Maybe losing it.
I think he is... I don't know why. Only political commentary I'll give here, because no one wants to hear our takes on politics. Or actually, they might want to, but I don't want to talk about them. I kind of see why he didn't want to run in 2016 now. And then people are like, "Hey, Biden, you need to run. You can win." And then he comes out, 4 years older and 4 years creepier, and now everyone's like, "Oh, wait, yeah, probably a good idea you didn't run in 2016."
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like he kind of had that figured out, like, "I'm not going to do it," but then kind of got coaxed into it, and he is, just from an observer, it seems like he has embarrassed himself a lot in this process.
Yeah. I don't think they have anybody that can beat Trump.
No.
I don't.
We'll see. I mean,
I'm not a Trump guy. I don't like Trump, but I don't think they can beat Trump.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think he'll be the winner.
Where do you want to go next? We got this
Power Rank Presidents.
Power Rank Presidents?
No. I don't know. What do we got out there?
I was going to say we can go there. I mean, there's – I feel like at a certain point, you know, as basketball heats up and football winds down, there's an NBA – there's some NBA stuff we could get to. Tennessee's bowl opponent. Other – stay in the NFL. Like, what interests you right now?
Tennessee's bowl opponent. We're going to know that, what, Sunday?
Yep, we should know that Sunday.
That's when all that happens.
Yep, we should know that Sunday. There's some thoughts. I mean, it's pretty much locked in, it seems like, at least, that it's going to be a Big Ten opponent.
I hope so. I hope it's not Louisville.
Does seem like it'll be a Big Ten opponent for Tennessee to play. Trending like Indiana, Wisconsin, or Minnesota kind of feels like that will be Tennessee's options there.
Yeah, I don't know why we can't play Michigan. I really want to play Michigan, but I'll take Minnesota.
I mean, I guess we could get Michigan. It's going to be – I guess the question comes down to – so you pretty much pencil Ohio State in the playoff, right? Either way, even if they lose to Wisconsin, they still get in, right? And then they start looking at who gets the Rose Bowl and then maybe an at-large bid. So then it just kind of gets down the pecking order. And apparently there's some rules with repeats when it comes to these bowl matchups, like in terms of going to a bowl back-to-back years, same bowl back-to-back years and things like that. So
yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
Right, but with Michigan, I think – What bowl game did Michigan play?
Oh, were they in the Outback Bowl last year? Didn't they hammer Florida?
I think that was it, right? Was that the Outback Bowl or is that the Citrus Bowl?
Might have been the Citrus Bowl. Michigan versus Florida 2018. Did they play them in the season? No. They beat them in the Peach Bowl. No, hang on. Florida beat Michigan 41-15 in the Peach Bowl.
Okay.
Last December.
Well, maybe it's not them that is worried about the repeat, I guess.
12-29-18. Yeah, that was 1 year ago.
Okay.
Peach Bowl. I'd like to get a piece of Michigan because I think that's a winnable game. I think Minnesota is winnable. I think that's a fun matchup, too. I'd like to play Minnesota. I like watching them play. I like watching P.J. Fleck. I'd like to kind of like to beat them. I don't know if I want any – piece of Wisconsin. Like I'm trying to.
Wisconsin's the one team I don't want to play. Like although like their best player Taylor, like, and this is going to be something to keep an eye on, you know, across the entire bowl games as it always is. But who plays and who doesn't play?
Will like, Jonathan Taylor play?
If I'm Jonathan Taylor, I don't play. If I'm, you know, looking at Alabama, if I'm in Jerry Jeudy or if I'm Ruggs, I'm not playing. Tennessee, I don't know if Tennessee has anybody that sits out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Trey Smith, maybe, but I doubt it. Because it's not like his injury concern is, you know, his blood clots, you know, doesn't get affected by one game type of thing, right? And as an offensive lineman, you're not as worried about injuries as you are skill position players. Juwan Jennings, it would be kind of uncharacteristic of him to sit out. That's what I'm saying, but I'm just looking at guys potentially from Tennessee that would sit out. Like, I don't know if we'll be affected by it, but
that would be the most shocking thing ever. Guys, if Juwan Jennings was just like, I'm not playing the bowl game.
Guys at Michigan, guys at Wisconsin, both of those schools, you know, it's possible they have some guys sitting out.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Here's what I want. I want to play a team that's good, but also beatable. A team that I feel good about going into the matchup. You know what I mean? I want to be able to make a statement. I want to play a ranked team and have an opportunity to beat a ranked team, but I don't want to play anyone too good. Is that a loser mentality? I want to win the bowl game.
So if I tell you Indiana?
See, that's not good enough.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, like, because, I mean, I think everyone would feel good about beating Indiana, but would anybody be excited about beating Indiana?
For me, it's, I think, my ideal are Michigan and Minnesota. Because Penn State's going to the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin, I think, is – I mean, they're susceptible. We could beat them. They lost to Illinois, but I don't really want any
piece of
them. They
lost to Illinois, like, as they were looking ahead to the Ohio State game, I think,
yeah.
The week after, but still.
I don't know that I want a piece of them. Then again, though, if we beat
them. They're a top 10 team right now, and you know the new rankings come out tonight. I'd imagine they go up.
If we beat them, that's a big win, though.
It's a big win, although you know if they lose this weekend, they'll probably be somewhere around the 12 to 15 range if Ohio State hurts them.
You know what? I'm not gonna be scared. If you want to give me Wisconsin, I'll play Wisconsin.
I don't think there's really any carryover when it comes to the end of the season, right? Like if you lose a bowl game, do you feel differently about the season? Obviously, 7-6 does look a lot worse than 8-5.
Yeah.
But does it affect how you view the season? Does it affect how you feel about the future whenever you look and say, ah, man, we only won one more game than we lost, and we have this bad taste in our mouth as the season ends?
Bowl games matter to me. I mean, I've always told you that.
I've always said they don't really matter to me.
Right, right. But I think 8-5 does look a lot better than 7-6.
I agree, and I do think that perception and taste in your mouth type of thing. I do think that's important.
Recruiting.
Whenever you look at how you started the season, and of course, yeah, as you look towards recruiting, although recruiting, I don't know how much that matters because every year we see, 75-80% of these guys sign in December?
The early signing day will probably happen before our bowl game.
Oh, yeah, no, that's 100% going to happen. The early signing period is like the 22nd, right? Or it's usually that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before Christmas, so like –
Yeah, so maybe it doesn't matter as much as it once did.
Now you'll get, you know, like I said, 20% of the guys will stay and, you know, kind of make up their mind as they, get ready for February. But most of these guys are going to make up their mind before Tennessee plays in a bowl game. So a win or a loss there isn't going to do much. That is probably more determined by, like, perception. Like, as good as bowl as you could possibly get, you know, as high profile as a matchup as you could get would probably do some good for you, right? Like if you're in the Outback Bowl, even if you are going against Wisconsin or Michigan and you're 14-point underdogs or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the spread would be off the top of my head, but I think just perception of saying, look, we're playing on a New Year's Day bowl, like that does a lot for you if you are looking for how this could affect some recruiting.
Yeah, I definitely think a win makes you feel a lot better than a loss would make you feel bad. Okay. Especially against it's like a good opponent, like a Michigan or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, okay, like we're almost back to that level.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much right. Of all those schools, like the only one that would make you feel bad would probably be Indiana. And yeah. I know losing to Minnesota probably wouldn't feel right either just because you should have a talent advantage over Minnesota. Like it's not like PJ Fleck's been there building forever. Like you probably still feel like you have more talent than that team. So Indiana would make you feel awful. Michigan would probably leave a bad taste in your mouth. I think we could all stomach a loss to Michigan or Wisconsin. Both those teams, I think, are legitimate football teams.
Yeah.
Minnesota, whatever, they're 10-2, they're solid, but I don't view them in that same breath.
I still think I'd rather have the opportunity to play those teams than to – like if you told me you guarantee me a win against Indiana or I can roll the dice against Michigan, I want to play Michigan.
Okay. Earlier you said you wanted the win, though, so.
I do want the win, but I want the opportunity to beat a good team. I want it somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to play Penn State, obviously, but they're going to the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin's kind of the cutoff. Like, I don't know if I really want a piece of Wisconsin, but if we end up playing them, you know, we take on all challengers. Minnesota's probably the ideal opponent. Good enough to make you feel good about a win. A loss wouldn't hurt you too bad. It's an opportunity to make kind of a statement, though. It's a team that was in the playoff talk for a lot of the year.
Yeah, like I said, in this scenario, only one loss would make you feel bad of the guys we're talking about. Now, of course, if you throw in Texas and Tennessee going to like the Texas Bowl or whatever, like losing to Texas would leave a bad taste in my mouth because that team's not very good.
No. I think all those Big Ten teams are pretty good, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Indiana would be hard perception-wise. Like, that would really make you feel – again, we're not SEC homers by any means. Everyone knows that. But, like, it would cheapen what you did against the SEC. Like, you know, against the lower tier of the SEC if you went in and got beat by Indiana, who wasn't anywhere near the top of the Big Ten. You would have a national perception of, wow, this team was hot in the SEC and they can't handle Indiana. that would be kind of the talk there. That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, or if we ended up in that Music City Bowl against Louisville, like, you wouldn't want to lose to them. Louisville's, Indiana's, any of those Midwest red teams, you don't want to lose to them. Illinois, you wouldn't want to lose to Illinois. But Minnesota, you get to Minnesota, Wisconsin, who is, I guess, a Midwest red team. Is Wisconsin considered the Midwest?
I think so.
I think it is. But at that point, you kind of take your shot at it. You know, and if you lose, you lose. I'd rather take a shot at it, though. Because that kind of tells me, and especially if you take a shot and win, like, you get to 8-5 with a win over Minnesota, we're going to be hyped heading into next season.
Because you're going to be ranked too if you like all that. That I think that also matters because, you know, you look at Indiana, though, that team isn't ranked anymore, right? They're 8-4.
No,
and they haven't beaten anybody. Like, they're not viewed as a quality team. But Iowa 18th, Minnesota 15th, Wisconsin 10th, Michigan 17th, Penn State 12, Ohio State 2. Obviously, I don't think you're playing you're definitely not playing Ohio State. I don't think you're playing Penn State either. So, like, any of those other matchups, you are playing a top 15 team. That perception-wise, you beat them. That should catapult you at 8-5 into the top 25 to end the year, which is an accomplishment, right? That's a big accomplishment.
I think we carry enough weight as a program that they're not going to put us in the game with Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, too. I mean, I don't – that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense from a business standpoint.
Especially the way that we finished the year and our fan base is excited – they know that we'll travel to play a team like Michigan.
Feels like Indiana's about to play Kentucky.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the matchup you give them, Indiana versus Kentucky.
Yeah, the old basketball rivalry.
Yeah, just do that. That'll be fun. Let those teams play each other. If you want to give Michigan, I guess you might get Penn State, Florida. I guess Penn State will make the Rose Bowl, right?
So they're going to the Rose Bowl.
So then they would play who? Oregon, I guess, or Utah if Utah doesn't make the playoff. Is that how that works, Pac-12 versus Big Ten? That's usually how that works, right?
Yeah, that'll be Penn State versus Utah or Penn State versus
Oregon. Depending on how that goes.
Whoever wins the Pac-12 title, if they don't get in the playoffs.
I wonder if they'll shy away from Michigan versus Florida again, because that'd be the third time they've played. And I guess Florida would be in line to maybe be a New Year's Six team, right?
Well, I don't know, because Alabama – Alabama or Florida?
Who's going to be ranked higher tonight when the playoff ranking comes out?
Florida.
So then Florida would get the nod over Alabama, right?
I think so. So Georgia's going to go to the Sugar Bowl.
Might get Alabama, Michigan.
Well, the thing is, though, if
Georgia beats LSU.
If Georgia beats LSU, then you'll probably get Bama or Florida in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Then the other would go to the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
Or no. The other might go to the Orange Bowl. And then you might have a situation where Auburn goes to the Citrus Bowl.
Right now, as we're looking at these bowl projections, the playoff has LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and I guess Utah is the fourth team getting in, I guess. I don't know. Now we're going to the SEC. Let me scroll down. Because it is going to be interesting the matchups they try to go to, because you would think if you're a bowl, like, what's the best matchup you can get out of the leftover SEC and Big Ten schools? Is it Michigan, Alabama? Is that going to be people's first want, because at this point it seems like Alabama might get left out of the New Year's Six.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, it looks like that's going to happen, right? I mean, because you're going to have three SEC teams ahead of them at least, in LSU, Georgia, and we think Florida. I would guess Auburn is also going to be ranked ahead of Alabama, right, after beating them head-to-head?
Yeah, maybe.
Although I guess it's still 9-3 versus 10-2, so maybe not, but
Bama might end up in the Citrus Bowl.
What's the biggest matchup possible if you're a bowl? Do you want Alabama versus Michigan?
I would have thought it would be Alabama, Wisconsin.
Okay, that's not a bad guess.
We'll probably end up against Minnesota, because Michigan and Wisconsin will both be sought after more than Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota is where ESPN has us playing both of their. Both of their projections have us Outback Bowl, Minnesota versus Tennessee.
Yeah, because the Citrus Bowl, they'll probably match up, I don't know, say Wisconsin, Alabama or something.
Auburn, Wisconsin looks like the Citrus Bowl, according to ESPN.
Okay.
Auburn versus Wisconsin.
That makes sense.
Ugh, Belk Bowl's going out with a whimper. This is the last Belk Bowl ever, right? They're looking at Appy State versus Pittsburgh or Florida Atlantic versus North Carolina. So the Belk Bowl.
Glad it's over.
Yeah, the Belk Bowl is getting going out with a big whimper.
They were trying to be cute yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you see? So, matching up with Tennessee.
I didn't see them say Tennessee. I just saw them block out like eight letters, which could be anything.
Yeah, I guess it could.
Could be Miss State.
I think they were talking about Tennessee.
They just want the clout, man. They just want the clout. ESPN has Michigan in both of their games in the Holiday Bowl. Ugh. This sounds gross.
So Michigan will not be in the New Year's Six.
December 27th.
They're only 9-3.
Against Washington, that would be gross. Or I guess USC. I could go for some USC Michigan maybe.
The Rose Bowl of years past.
Yeah, game used to matter a whole lot more.
Game used to be huge.
That's crazy to me that Michigan might be on a December 27th bowl game. What?
I feel like good Michigan.
Orange Bowl is going to be Virginia versus either Alabama or Florida. My God.
The what bowl?
Orange Bowl, because the best ACC school will get in besides Clemson, so that'll be Virginia versus either Alabama or Florida. That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, Virginia. We don't want Virginia in a good bowl game.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah, they won the Coastal.
So whoever, like, I guess the SEC school that gets the nod is, I mean, pretty much guaranteed a victory. You get to say, hey, we won the Orange Bowl, but it's against Virginia. Congratulations. I don't think any Alabama fans would go to that game, right? Well, like, Alabama's like, oh, we're going to take this holiday season off and spending money on the football program. We're not going to Miami to watch Virginia.
Well, if Auburn goes to the Citrus Bowl, where does Alabama or Florida go? The one that's not in the Orange Bowl.
The one that's not in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah. Be the Outback Bowl, wouldn't it? Or like is Alabama going to be in the Liberty Bowl or something? Like
I'm looking at it.
I mean, because they can't all go New Year's Six.
The problem with, I'm trying to search Alabama, you know, with a keyword search. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's giving me like the Birmingham Bowl and all that stupid stuff. And then it goes all the way down. It's just stupid. This one page has like 80 different Alabama things on it. Okay, let's go down. I'll find it. I'll get that answer for you.
Okay.
Oh my God, no, I won't, because look how many damn Alabamas are. All right, so Virginia, Alabama, or the other projection that ESPN had was Memphis versus Alabama in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh wow, the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have Georgia, Florida, and Alabama in New Year's Six bowls.
Suppose so. I mean, it's possible.
Can you imagine what Alabama would do to Memphis?
I don't know, man. Would Alabama even try? Like I said, half their team would sit out.
Imagine them losing to Memphis.
That'd be terrible for us,
that'd
right?
Be like, great.
Who would it be?
If Memphis beat Alabama, yeah, you'd take that.
I don't know if I want to give Memphis that satisfaction, bro. They keep talking about it's their state. Like, them beating Alabama when we've lost, like, what, 12 in a row to them would not be a good feeling.
Yeah, but they just blabber. I mean, they.
Well, sure, but I mean, like.
Hell, it would give them the satisfaction, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think I'd just say, like, Alabama, just go ahead and win that game, like, win the Cotton Bowl.
I still think it'd be kind of cool to see them lose to Memphis.
I do not think it would be cool.
I don't think I got any problem with Memphis football.
Okay.
It's Penny in the basketball. They're okay. They're the ones.
Cam, what about
always...
you? You got a problem with Memphis football?
No, because I don't see them as a threat.
I really
you guys
don't
keep saying that, and they beat Alabama, and then all of like,
well,
Memphis
yeah,
is
yeah.
the new premier program in
to,
Tennessee.
I would
like,
not
you don't
want
to hear
to beat
that.
Alabama.
But we're on the rise, too.
Sure.
Maybe we could play them.
Sure.
Of course, that does more for them than it does us.
Yeah, that's.
I haven't seen the projection. Like, I mean, I guess there's not anything. I guess we'd have to make the Cotton Bowl, I guess, for it to happen, but I figured there might be some bowl matchups, Memphis versus Tennessee.
I'd like to see that.
I guess if Memphis loses to Cincinnati, maybe that could happen. I don't know.
I don't care about Memphis. I think it would be cool to see them beat Alabama, personally.
I would probably root for Alabama. Because it doesn't really matter if they lose that game, Alabama, to them.
Roll Tide Reed.
It's anti-Memphis Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to pick the lesser of the evils. I guess we'll see what happens with Norvell. Because if he stays and they beat Alabama, then they'd be kind of the new UCF. But if he leaves and it all comes falling apart.
Well, how about
they beat Alabama and he leaves?
Yeah.
I might could handle that. Maybe.
Memphis beats Alabama, and then he gets, like, the Florida State job or something.
I'd imagine he's already left in that scenario.
You would think so. I wonder what's going to shake out with the – I mean, Florida State still doesn't have a coach, do they? Unless I've missed something.
Yeah, I wonder what Norvell does. Like, you can't go to Arkansas, and honestly, I don't think I'd go to Ole Miss either, the more I've thought about it.
He's probably the best candidate for Florida State.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to one of those SEC schools. I think I'm holding out for either Florida State or just hold out and go somewhere better next year. Be the top guy next year.
I mean, the SEC is appealing.
I'm holding out for USC if I'm Mike Norvell.
I feel like the SEC is pretty appealing, though.
Is it? In, like, at Ole Miss and Arkansas, though?
More appealing than being at Memphis.
It's always just weird, though, because, I mean, if you go there and you look, like, if you fail, like, you don't get another shot.
I feel like these guys that's even don't failing. Think that way, though.
I think they should.
They should.
I mean, hell, even look at Butch Jones, who didn't really fail at Tennessee, at least for, you know, the first 4 years. Like, he failed year five, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't been linked to any of these jobs. Like, he's someone who had success at Central Michigan and Cincinnati. Now, granted, he didn't, you know, necessarily build those. He followed Brian Kelly, but, I mean, he got Tennessee ranked in the top 10, which, whatever, paper tigers or whatnot, but him failing has put such a stink on him that he's not linked to any of these jobs. He was in Greg Schiano's boat of, like, Rutgers, maybe, and they didn't even really take him serious.
I feel like these guys are competitors, though, and they think that they can do it. Like, they thrive on that criticism, like, oh, you can't do it here. That's how these coaches are. I mean, that's how they're wired.
Yeah, but some of them are smart enough to know. Like,
some of them are.
Hold off, like Tom Herman did, and you hold off a little bit, and then you end up at Texas. Now, granted,
worked out
he's
good for him.
Well, yeah, granted, he's not going to win there, but he got the Texas job, and that's cool.
How about the LSU fans?
Same for, you know, Charlie Strong. I mean, he held off Tennessee and then got the Texas job.
Those LSU fans lucked out, didn't they? They said Ed Orgeron wasn't good enough for them. They wanted Tom Herman, and look at it now.
Now Cody has him knocking down the door of Tier 1 at LSU.
I don't know. It might fall apart when Burrow's gone. I don't know if it'll fall apart, but they can't.
It does feel like this is the year where they just cycle up and they're really good and they go back to being frustrated.
9-3 or whatever.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
You already know. Talk sports for your sports news.
John Reed and Cody, this is Fan Run. And we can't help it if your shorty thinks we're handsome. Run and tell your granddaughter how your grandson. I'm the ghost, but I put up in a phantom. Fox Sports Knoxville, this the anthem. Fan Run, hold your radio for ransom. About to move to Fair, getting by a mansion. Fan Run, got the haters throwing tantrums. Fan Run Radio for your sports facts. Bama, Florida, and Georgia, we ignore that. John Reed and Cody posted up with Cam Black. Fan Run, you can run and tell your man's dead.
Two-time champion John Reed. Cody McClure.
Hour three kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three headlines brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. Use the promo code Knoxville when you make a deposit. You get 100% bonus up to $1,000. Terms and conditions and rollover apply. Promo code Knoxville. I like this NBA slate tonight. No football of note, but we do have some big NBA matchups. Lakers playing the Nuggets. We get the Heat playing the Raptors. If I'm looking for a play for you, it's a high one, but I would probably say the over. In the Rockets-Spurs game, it's 234 points. I would probably just take the Rockets to score over 120. Team total. That's my pick, Cam. Write it down. You don't actually have to write it down. I'll remember.
I still wrote it down.
Rockets over 120 points tonight. That's what I like. Spurs can't play defense. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. You're welcome. A few coaches in the Ole Miss coaching search, a few candidates for Ole Miss. Mike Norvell, Mike Leach, Skip Holtz. Those are the lead replacements, apparently, for Matt Luke.
If I'm Mike Leach, I take that job. If I'm Norvell, I do not. If I'm Skip Holtz, yeah. Like, where's he at?
He was at ECU. I have no
idea. That was a long time ago. I feel like.
I have no idea.
Is he La Tech now? No. Did he go somewhere better than that? He's not at SMU, right? Is he at SMU? No.
I have
he's
no
at
idea.
Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech. Okay, yeah. I didn't know if he for some, I got for some reason was thinking he might have went to Houston, but that's not okay. Yeah. So he's at where? La Tech still?
Yep.
Okay.
It's been a long time since he was at ECU.
Yeah, it's been a long time since
05 to 09. How did he end up at Louisiana Tech?
I think they caught him. Actually, he went to South Florida.
He's been there for 6 years now.
Went 3-9 at South Florida in year three, got fired, and then I guess they caught him at La Tech after Sonny Dykes left, I guess. And yeah, then 4-8, then 9-5, 9-4, 9-5, 7-6, 8-5, 9-3. He's got him rolling.
He's been there for some time.
You can't hire him to run your SEC program, though.
No, that's a failure. Whoever goes to Ole Miss is going to fail, I think.
More than likely.
I don't know that I would take that job if I was any coach. Unless you just really want to be in the SEC.
If I'm Mike Leach, I probably would.
Get out of Pullman?
Yeah.
To go to Mississippi?
Don't you just feel like, I mean, don't you just feel like he's play somewhere or coach somewhere different? Like, I feel like the Washington State thing has run its course, right? Or no? Although I guess maybe with Chris Peterson retiring, maybe he's rejuvenated up there.
Yeah, I don't know what you do if you're Mike Leach. I wouldn't want to go to Ole Miss.
Okay.
But I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out. Apparently a group of Seahawks players.
Would he recruit better at Ole Miss than he did at Texas Tech?
I don't know.
I mean, I know he'd recruit better at Ole Miss than he did at Washington State, but like, could he recruit better at Texas Tech?
I don't know how you recruit at Ole Miss if you don't pay players. I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to.
Well, I don't even mean like recruit at like the same level as other SEC schools. I just mean like get better athletes in his system.
You'd probably have better D linemen there.
Either way, who cares?
They all come out of the South.
Yeah, let's move on.
The Seahawks had a few players that were very sick last night. Did you see this story?
They had the flu.
They did. Their corner, Trey Flowers, and receiver David Moore went from puking to producing on Monday night. Those two were among the players hit hardest by a flu bug that started making its way through the locker room midway through last week.
That was a story with the Patriots, too.
Those two guys combined to lose 22 pounds.
Woof, man.
By their accounts.
That's rough.
Yeah, it is. Six Seahawks were listed on the final injury report of the week with an illness. Several of them were sent home. They battled through sickness last night to defeat the Vikings. The ugly bug crawling in here. It always throws me off when the bug's crawling in here. It's hard to be a radio professional when you see that, you know? Just grosses me out. I'm not a big bug guy. Not a big duck guy either. And Duck Hodges will continue as the coach, as the quarterback coach, Mike Tomlin says. So they have no intentions of bringing back Mason Rudolph as of now. Duck will continue to be the starter. I hope Pittsburgh doesn't make the playoffs.
If Pittsburgh makes the playoffs, it'll be one of the more miraculous things in sports this year. They play on the road at the Cardinals this weekend. The Cardinals got embarrassed. You would think they'd be a little bit motivated. Then they have to play the Bills on Sunday night. Go to the Jets. I would assume the Jets' home finale, I would assume, in Week 16. Maybe they play at Week 17 as well. And then Week 17 play in Baltimore, which I'm guessing the Ravens – I mean, I guess the Ravens could have the one seed clinched at that time, potentially – because they own the tiebreaker over the Patriots. So maybe the Ravens don't have anything to play for in Week 17.
They're not going to just let the Steelers get one, though, are they?
I wouldn't think so because of the whole rivalry and everything.
That's
but,
a pretty hated rivalry.
Yeah.
Probably want to keep the Steelers out of the playoffs.
if Pittsburgh can win three of those games, more credit to them. More credit to them. I don't think they're going to, but we'll see.
Mike Tomlin said, "Going on the road is something we respect." I don't know what that means.
I don't know what the hell to make of the Pittsburgh Steelers because their losses are really good. Remember when we talked about their losses? Like, I think the Steelers are 7-1, Cody, against teams that don't have 10 wins.
Were they the team that had all the good losses?
Yeah, they lost at New England, who is 10-2, lost to Seattle, who is 10-2, lost at San Francisco, who is, what's the record?
10-2.
10-2, yeah. And lost to Baltimore in overtime, who, you guessed it,
they're 10-2.
Is 10-2.
Those are four. Who's their other loss?
At Cleveland on Thursday Night Football, and Mason Rudolph was awful.
That was a rough night for them.
I mean, like, their wins aren't great by any means, but those four of those five losses, and, you know, four of those five losses came in the first 5 weeks of the season. That's a pretty stout schedule. We'll see how they finish. Their defense is good. Tomlin's been really good. I just think eventually this catches up to them, though, and they run out of gas. They're underdogs this weekend in Arizona, so we'll see.
We will indeed see. The Cubs.
I'm not going to feel bad for them if they miss the playoffs, though. I'm not. They chose, like.
No, I never feel bad for them.
Well, I'm just saying, like, can we all agree that they made this tougher on themselves by running out Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges? Like, there's other options to play quarterback. There's other guys. Josh Dobbs. Yeah, they didn't trade Josh Dobbs. You could have had him. Colin Kaepernick's better than Duck Hodges. Like, there's other options.
I can't get over a guy going by the first name Duck in the NFL. I get that it's a nickname,
it's cooler
whatever.
Than Devlin. I'd rather go by Duck than Devlin.
I don't like either one.
Yeah, me neither.
Devlin makes me think of the eggs.
Maybe that's where Duck comes from, because they lay eggs.
I was thinking like deviled eggs.
Well, I know. The eggs come.
Ducks have eggs.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
You like deviled eggs?
Mm-hmm.
I like deviled eggs much less as I get older. I used to love them so much when I was a kid.
I'm surprised you like them.
I loved them as a kid. For Thanksgiving, ask me how many deviled eggs I ate for Thanksgiving.
Zero.
One. Only one.
Only one deviled egg?
Back in the day, I would have eaten like five or six of them. I used to love deviled eggs. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite foods. Now, I'll eat one just out of nostalgia.
I'm really
but
surprised you like those. You know, it's just the yolks mixed with mayonnaise.
I know.
A little mustard.
I love mayonnaise.
A little paprika.
Yeah.
You love mayonnaise?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
surprises me.
I don't know if I would say I love it, but
I love mayonnaise too.
I eat mayonnaise, yeah.
You ever notice how mayonnaise gets such a bad. Everybody acts like it's the grossest thing ever, but they'll order. Like some guy will come in McDonald's or something, and he'll be like, you know, give me a double quarter pounder with extra cheese, extra ketchup, extra salt, large fries, extra salt, and a large sweet tea, and six holiday pies. You know, he'll order all this stuff, and like, but they act like mayonnaise is gross. You know, like if I ask for a little mayonnaise on the side, it's like people give you nasty looks. Can I get some packets of mayonnaise? It's just deemed to be gross, I guess.
USA Today.
You ever dip French fries in mayonnaise?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither.
That's what I was going to say. It's very
gross.
Yeah,
I've never done that either.
You 100%
have.
That's
disgusting.
A USA Today sports writer for UGA Wire.
It's actually pretty common in England.
Cover the Big Ten and SEC. Jackson Freiberger, never heard of this guy. Kind of looks like a
Freiberger, that's good too. You put fries on the burger.
He sort of kind of looks like a dweeb.
Gives a little crunch.
But he said he's confident in his sources that Kiffin and is a done deal in Arkansas. So we will wait to see if Jackson Freiberger has the scoop.
Who is Jackson Freiberger? Where is he from?
I just read off his credentials. Like, he's a USA Today guy.
It's kind of funny. We were just talking about fries and burgers, and all of a sudden, boom, breaking news with Freiburger.
I'm not going to call it breaking news. I'm just going to call it I got a report.
If your name's Freiburger, I'm sorry. I can't take you seriously as a journalist. I just can't. He may be right, and if he is, you know, good for him. Good for the Arkansas fans, but I just, I don't know.
It seems kind of similar to. Like, why not just bring back Petrino if you're going to hire Kiffin? You know?
Maybe Petrino's run his course.
Yeah, sure.
You know, maybe his offense. He wasn't really successful at Louisville, which was a place where I feel like he could have won. I mean, other than when he had Lamar Jackson, obviously. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could have won there. Maybe the games passed him by.
Either way, you got more headlines?
Pete Davidson apparently has asked fans to sign a $1 million non-disclosure agreement before his comedy show.
Well,
fans have to sign NDAs, you know, non-disclosure agreements.
Okay.
Basically saying so that they will not put anything on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, no pictures, videos, stuff like that. He wants his comedy shows to be very, very private. Apparently.
I don't like Pete Davidson, but I don't have a problem with this.
His comedy is like, have you ever watched it?
I don't like him, so I have nothing to watch.
He did a deal on his, well, his dad died at 9/11.
That's the only joke I've ever heard he did was.
Well, it was so dark that it wasn't funny. Like, I like dark humor, obviously, but to me, I thought like it wasn't even funny. It was kind of sad, you know?
I don't know if I remember. There was one he had said, or either he had said it or someone had said it about him when roasting him was like, or no, it was Pete Davidson was roasting someone. I don't know if it was Donald Trump or something, but said it's the second worst thing that's ever happened in his life or something like that. I don't know. I'll look up the joke for you. It's basically like saying that his dad died in 9/11 and knowing this guy was the second worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm messing the joke up.
Or maybe he said that knowing him was worse.
Yeah,
he's like, and my dad died at 9/11.
Something like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I watched a bit he did, like, talking about his dad, and he was, like, he was making jokes about it and stuff. Like, it was just...
Everyone learns their own way.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think he was... I don't think he's very funny, but that's just me.
I don't like him.
He's not really my taste. Well, anyway.
Okay. Good bets to headlines. Anybody. I don't have a problem with a comedian doing that, like, right? I mean, I've been places where they made you lock your phone up.
Yeah. He's making him sign a $1 million non-disclosure agreement.
Well, don't let his jokes leak, I guess.
I guess not. I guess so.
We'll look up that joke that I just butchered. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. You interested at all tonight? Lakers-Nuggets?
Lakers-Nuggets?
Yeah. Top two teams in the West playing tonight. You interested at all?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always interested in the Lakers.
You seen the ratings numbers?
For Lakers games?
No. For NBA games. Primetime games.
Are they low?
Yeah, they're bad. They're down like 20% across the board, basically.
Really?
Yeah, not good. Cam, you seen those?
Seen what? My bad.
Oh, no, you're good. The NBA's TV scorecard so far, TNT's down 23%. ESPN's down 20% when it comes to their season ratings so far.
Really? Oof.
Now, some of the local guys are improving, like, you know, the local Fox Sports South, like the Hawks, for example, are one of two teams that have got the two best increases. The Magic have almost doubled their TV ratings, and the Hawks are up 43%. So, like, there's been some growth in local markets, but nationally, yeah, so far, 23% and 20% for TNT and ESPN. Does that surprise you, or does that seem kind of... like, yeah, this was bound to happen with the way the league is trending a little bit.
Oh, it's kind of surprising to me because I thought with there being a little bit more parity, it'd be a little more interest for people to think the games are going to be either better or more competitive, but guess not.
I'm not too surprised by it. The ratings seem to be going down pretty consistently, don't they?
Well, the thing is, live sports have, you know, kind of been able to survive that. Like, network television, sure, like, those things are going downhill. Those things have gone drastically downhill in network television, but...
Well, I mean, sports...
Sports have still kind of held on. Like, the NFL's ratings have held on. The NBA's slipped a little bit last year, but these are drastic. These aren't, like, the standard, like, cord-cutting slippage. This is 23%. not like 6% where, you know, 6% of people have just kind of cut the cord. This is just a lot of less people are watching the product right now.
I was thinking that the NFL, maybe I'm wrong, maybe college football too. I don't know how the other sports look, but I thought that was really the only one sustaining was the NFL. Like, isn't hockey, baseball, isn't all that down too?
Well, the NFL is able to sustain. It's almost not even fair to really compare things to the NFL because, you know, the NFL's biggest games are all on network television.
Yeah, and they have every network.
Right.
Like, well, ABC, ESPN or CBS. Technically is.
Yeah, ESPN's different, but, you know, the big games are on CBS and Fox and NBC.
Right. Whereas the NBA really doesn't have any of that, do they, besides ABC?
They'll get some ABC when it comes time for
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day or whatnot.
And the finals, obviously.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean, when you're most of the big games are on TNT, right?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's as simple this time. Like, usually you could point to that, but this is a real slippage. And it's because of a couple different factors, and I'm wondering, like, I'm guessing you've watched two games at most this year.
I've watched a lot of the end of Lakers games.
Okay.
Like, but not, like, as far as a full game, I don't think I've watched a full game this
Cam,
year.
How many have you found yourself watching outside of Hawks games? I know you watch a lot of Hawks. Like, how many outside of that have you found yourself watching?
I'd say probably five.
Okay.
Like,
is that on
super
par?
Casually.
So is that on par with like where you were at this time last year, or more or less, or?
I'd say it's pretty similar.
Okay.
To where I was last year.
I've watched more this year, but I realize that I'm kind of an outlier, and I do think that there's some problems, and we haven't really talked about the schedule changes that Adam Silver and wants to make with the NBA. You know, last week, you know, towards closer to Thanksgiving, it came out that they're really pushing for this in-season tournament that would be playing around right now. That they want to shorten the season to 78 games and try to do some things that bulk up the regular season, because I think they realize that there's a problem, but I think it's a self-inflicted problem with the NBA, because the NBA is acknowledging the regular season's too long. You have teams that, you know, resting players, and you have all your superstars in the Western Conference. Like, this is a bad recipe for the NBA when it comes to TV viewership right now. Now, Cam, you talked about the parity and how that might help. I think you'll see that help in the playoffs, maybe. Whenever you see teams that maybe have a chance to get to a championship for the first time. But right now, watching in the regular season, the NBA has pretty much openly admitted that they think the NBA regular season's too long. B, they acknowledge that the players don't have to try as hard in the regular season because they need to rest for the playoffs, because we are obsessed with rings and championships and all that stuff. And C, there's a little bit of a star discrepancy power when it comes to where it shifted. I think all that is kind of combined to spit out 20% less TV viewership for right now.
What do you mean about the star? You don't have enough stars?
I think all your stars are on the West Coast. Like, when you take LeBron James and, you know, take him off of 7 o'clock, 7:30 windows and put him at 10 and 10:30 windows, that's going to hurt you during the middle of the week.
Yeah, because without LeBron, I mean, I feel like the ratings would be really, really in trouble without LeBron.
And I don't know what the numbers look like with him in Los Angeles, but I know that it's harder for people to stay up 10 o'clock, 10:30 on the East Coast to watch him and Kawhi Leonard and.
Their games aren't getting over till midnight.
You remove Steph Curry from the equation, and that might have a little bit to do with it. It's like, hey, for a while you had this super team that everyone either wanted to watch to admire their greatness or to root against, and you remove three superstars from the league in Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant, and now the Warriors are still on national TV a lot because they thought you'd get to watch Steph Curry, and now those games are still on TV, and no one wants to watch Draymond Green with a bunch of misfits.
And you don't really have – you pointed out all the stars are on the West Coast. You really don't have any East Coast stars.
Look at the top of the league right now, I mean, if you just look at the top of the standings in the East, I mean, you have Giannis, but for as great as Giannis is
– He's Greek.
Yeah, I mean, for as great as he is at basketball,
I mean
– and he is great, and he is getting better, he's ascending – he's still getting better. I don't think he is maxed as a player. I think he is going to, you know, continue to evolve. He only is in the Hulu Live Sports commercial, right? Like, it's not like he is a marketable star that people are watching and gravitating towards right now.
He doesn't, and he's Greek, so I don't know if he relates to Americans as much, like your regular average Americans, and he's in Milwaukee.
I don't think that's as much of a problem because Luka is an American, and people, I think are obsessed with wanting to watch him.
I think it's just Mavericks, man, like guys like Rick.
Nah, I mean, the NBA talks a lot about Luka, as they talk a lot about Giannis, but... I mean, I don't know.
But you don't have those guys like you had in the old days that were just hard-nosed, tough American basketball players. You know what I mean? Like the
what
guys.
Do you mean?
When people talk about the heyday when you had the Jordans.
But most of those guys weren't the blue-collar, hard-nosed guys weren't stars that people were watching.
No, but it just seemed to me like you knew those guys more. Even like Patrick Ewing and, you know, the names resonated more for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, you could argue that maybe if Giannis and Luka, two of your biggest stars who are foreign, and even Dirk Nowitzki back in his day, and Steve Nash, who was Canadian, like if those guys would have spent 3 or 4 years in college playing in front of American audiences, maybe that would change because you talk about Patrick Ewing, like, in those days, those guys became stars in college because we cared about college basketball, and then you knew a little bit more about them before they even got to the league.
It probably helped in those days. I got nothing against the foreign guys. I'm just saying
that you don't like Greeks.
No, listen. I got nothing against foreign guys, but I'm saying your average fan that just maybe they'll watch, maybe they won't. Those guys don't resonate with the average person.
I think Giannis is too likable. He needs to become more of a villain. Get some edge to him. Maybe people would want to watch and root against him. Because otherwise, nothing makes the Bucks interesting. But yeah, you look at the East right now. Giannis. I mean, I love watching this Raptors team. I actually think the Raptors have a really good shot of winning the East. But I don't know if people are turning the channel on to watch another foreigner, as you point out, Pascal Siakam.
Right.
The Heat.
That's another guy.
The Heat, number 3 in the East right now. Jimmy Butler doesn't really move the needle for anybody.
No, he doesn't.
The Boston Celtics. Kemba Walker, not really moving the needle for anybody. That's a good team. The Celtics are good. Brad Stevens, good coach.
Zero star power.
Big franchise, but Jason Tatum doesn't have a personality.
Zero star power.
Gordon Hayward, his only personality is he likes to video game and be left alone by his wife and hates having so many daughters and wishes he could have a son. Not a personality. The Sixers, sure, like Embiid, but again, I don't know if it's another foreign player.
And no star power.
That didn't play in college.
I think that's what it comes down to. You said it earlier. Your stars are on the West Coast, and their games don't start till 10 o'clock.
The East is really just devoid of star power. I mean, I think they've got really good basketball players. Like, I think Giannis is awesome. I think Pascal Siakam is awesome. Embiid is awesome, but like Embiid and Ben Simmons aren't really getting you to your TV. The Pacers, Oladipo's hurt. Like, he's not making you watch either, like, whenever he's out there. So,
yeah, nobody wants to watch the Pacers anyway.
Sure. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I mean, those are your 6 best teams in the East. And, you know, maybe this would help if the Brooklyn Nets could get Kyrie and Kevin Durant back out there and you'd have one at least group of people that have star power. Like, Kevin Durant's the biggest star in the East right now, and he's not playing.
Or if the Knicks were ever good.
The Knicks stink. Like, I'm giving up on that. They're 4-17. They're trash. Like, I mean, honestly, one of your biggest stars, and I don't want to come across like a homer again, but I do think one of your biggest stars in the Eastern Conference is Trae Young.
Maybe so. I mean, I don't.
And they're 5-16 right now. So maybe if they could get back in there and, you know, make some plays and get back in the playoff mix, maybe that would help.
But he's down in Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's a southern city, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but, I told you the viewership locally in Atlanta has gone up 45%. So there has been a Trae Young effect locally.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, people got excited about him last year, and it's helped. Like, Trae Young has star power. And I don't say that as a homer, and I do think Atlanta likes basketball, but I do think they have to be good. But they do have someone, I think, who could morph into one of the biggest stars in the East just because, A, American, like you said, B, you did have at least a little bit of familiarity with him at college, you know, shortly removed from Oklahoma. That team wasn't great by any means, but they made the tournament and were at least around. But
yeah. I think you need stars in your big-time basketball. Like, I would say Philly and New York, are those the two biggest basketball cities?
In America,
like,
or just in the
generally
East?
Generally in America.
I would say Los Angeles is just as big as those two.
Well, yeah, you got the Lakers. So, But you got your star there.
And I would
say
your fourth one is probably Chicago, right? You go Philly. Is it even Philly?
Yeah, they suck.
New York, Chicago, and L.A. are your three biggest cities.
They're your three biggest markets. I'm just wondering, basketball.
That's also your biggest like, most of the talent that comes from the NBA comes from Chicago, I guess maybe even Washington, D.C., New York, L.A. Like, those produce a lot of talent, too.
I've just always thought Philly's a big-time basketball city.
Maybe.
Like, that's – to me, that seems like a basketball city.
Sure. I think of it more as football, and I think of Chicago – you know, obviously with Jordan, but Michael Jordan. Like a lot of your stars, like Anthony Davis, and
that's probably where your problem lies, right? I mean,
I think that's got
New
something
York
to do with
and
it.
Chicago have no stars right now.
I think that's got something to do with
and
it.
And LA has stars, but you know, late games. So, I mean, I think it boils down to that. Troy tweets in, it's LeBron hate in China, but to me, LeBron hate would equal good ratings. People are notorious for if they hate something, they watch it.
I don't think it's LeBron hate in China. I don't think that's what it is. These aren't international numbers from China tuning out. Although, like, it is probably is bad timing if China's tuning out too at the same time. But
I wonder what the ratings are in China.
I'd imagine most of the people who are mad about the China stuff, with all due respect, aren't staying up till 11 o'clock to watch West Coast basketball.
Right. They weren't watching the NBA anyway.
And if they were, they weren't watching. They were watching the Celtics. They weren't watching the 11
Mavs.
O'clock basketball.
Maybe
yeah.
The Mavs.
Yeah. Now, we'll see. We'll see if this changes in the playoffs, because this was supposed to be an exciting season. I'm looking forward to Lakers-Nuggets. It's not on national TV tonight. You have your number one and your number two in the West. You have LeBron James versus Nikola Jokic, and that's not going to be on TV tonight unless you have League Pass. So that doesn't help either. Numbers aren't good, though.
No, not looking good right now. You got any thoughts on the Baby Yoda?
No, I haven't watched the Mandalorian. I haven't watched that yet. Have you started watching it?
No.
You watched it on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I've watched it.
Is it good? Is it as good as everyone says?
Pretty solid.
I plan on going to watch it. I heard you don't really have to care about Star Wars to watch it.
Yeah,
because
I'm not a big Star Wars person. I think it's pretty solid.
I don't know if it's Baby Yoda, technically.
Sometimes it's kind of predictable, but besides that, it's solid.
Because they said Yoda died like 5 years before that, although some people think, hey, it could be a clone or reincarnated. Or not reincarnated. Mm-hmm. I guess reincarnated. I don't know. His baby, maybe, or something that would make it Baby Yoda. But then they're like, Jedis don't really have sex. They're not supposed to. So.
Spoiler, the baby's like 50 years old, but it's a baby.
Okay.
Wait, Yoda dies. Is that what you, like in Star Wars?
He does, right?
Does he?
I think so.
At some point, yeah.
He does, right?
I was thinking about watching the...
I mean, they're like 7 movies or 8. Like,
I don't know if it's like an on-screen death or if it's just he's dead at some point.
I don't know.
I'm not well-versed
That's
in kind of
discouraging me from watching now. I watched the first one. Wasn't all that impressed. I started watching the second one, and they were talking about how they're going to go meet Yoda. And now you're telling me Yoda dies at some point in the Star Wars movie.
I guess so.
Yeah,
it may not be on screen. It may be like after the movies. I don't know. The movies are all over the place time-wise.
I don't want Yoda to die. I mean, I mean,
you knew what was going to happen in The Irishman, and you've enjoyed that, right?
So far. I watched another 30 minutes or so last night. I'm watching the whole thing today.
You watched another 30 minutes.
I'm kind of breaking it up. And,
it's like a TV episode.
Wow.
I really like the...
So the guy who was like, you know, really railing against the idea that it was too long is now going to have to spend 3 days watching this.
I just didn't have the time last night.
Oh, you didn't have time to sit down and watch a 3.5-hour movie.
I do have time.
Wow. I am shocked.
I do have the time to do it. I just got to set aside the time. That's the only thing.
Wow.
I had some other things I was trying to consume, listening to, and, you know. So.
Interesting. Really crazy to see.
I'm going to watch the whole thing tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. Have you seen it?
No, I don't have 3.5 hours. Time. I got a routine when I get home. I can't carve out 3.5 hours.
On any night? Are you going to carve it out at some point? I mean,
probably not.
You're just not going to watch it?
Probably not.
Wow. greatest director to ever live.
Same as you. You're not going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch the whole thing tonight.
Okay.
It seems pretty good to where I've gotten, like the middle. Yeah. It seems pretty good.
Just so good that you just can't put it down. You just keep pressing forward.
Spoiler alert.
I've read the book.
JFK dies.
Yeah.
In the middle of the movie.
Yeah. So. Do they imply that it was a mob hit?
Not yet.
I don't know if they will in the movie or not. Maybe In the book, they.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people know the story. Like, it's not really one of those movies where it's like spoilers are a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you're just kind of watching for the story.
Sure.
I think the acting's been great so far, and the directing has been great so far.
I heard Pacino's just really over the top.
In a good way.
In a good way?
Yeah, you heard it's in a bad way.
No, I just heard it's like in a sin of a woman, hoo-ha type of way just the whole time. Just like,
he's pretty aggressive, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of who he is, I think. How do you want your Pacino to be?
I don't know. A little bit more nuanced, like Godfather 2 Pacino, maybe.
You like that Pacino best?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little bit like that, too.
Okay.
He's a little like Scarface Pacino, really.
Either way.
Did you ever see the movie with Pacino and Robin Williams?
Insomnia?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie.
I saw it when I was younger. I don't really remember it. I just remember there was like a lake, like a frozen lake, and they're in Alaska or something.
Robin
like
Williams around. Was the murderer.
Yeah.
And he was, that's basically what it
I just remember like there was a... I didn't like it when I was younger. I wasn't really old enough for it, I guess. I watched it when I was like 10, maybe.
That's probably one of my favorite 12. Pacino movies. Son 12, of a Woman, I guess. Of course.
Probably 12.
Son of a Woman
when
is good.
When did Insomnia come out?
I want to say it was...
I want to say like 2002.
I was going to say like early, like 2000 or something.
2002. Look at me.
Oh, two.
Brain on me.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, there's the house that he's chasing around in. Is it good? 92% on Rotten Tomatoes? Okay.
I mean, I loved it when I watched it, but I'm a big Pacino guy.
I remember not really liking it, but I was like 12 years old when I watched this. I was like, this isn't
You
really...
should probably give it another shot.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, Robin Williams is gold, and Pacino's really good. So it's hard to have a bad movie with those two guys. So, I mean, the writing could still make it bad, but I think it was pretty good.
Is he creepy? Is
Robin
Williams creepy?
Yeah.
I like creepy Robin Williams. Robin Williams. I love 1 Hour Photo. You ever seen that one where he's the photo guy?
No, you've told me about that one,
he's creepy in that one.
He plays a good creepy guy.
Yeah, he seems kind of creepy.
I mean, he had some things going on in his head, obviously.
That's true.
I miss Robin Williams.
Actively?
Like I wake up and miss him every day? No. But occasionally I miss him.
Cam, consider yourself as in the camp of missing Robin Williams?
Oh, I'd say yes. Yeah? I like this stuff, but like, it's not like every day I'm like, oh man, this would be better if there's a Robin.
Yeah, it's not
Williams
like I wake
right
up.
Here.
You don't wake up
do
longing
with,
for Robin
Stanley
Williams.
And Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Stanley.
And Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Those do seem like two big idols for you. Two
yeah,
guys
those
you'd
are
really
my
love.
Guys.
Makes sense.
Was Stanley actively still making stuff?
No, not really, but like, he
just missed his cameos
and
stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
The cameos. I mean, he always had nice little quotes and stuff.
Yeah, I think we all miss Steve Irwin. I mean, I think we all actively.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
miss him. Oh. I feel like Robin Williams already had enough stuff in the catalog.
Yeah.
I only liked Robin Williams' movies anyway. Like, I never liked his stand up. It was way too fast paced. He did way too much cocaine for his stand ups.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fast.
You can always just throw on Flubber or Jumanji or
Patch Adams.
Love Patch Adams.
Yeah. He had some good
Jack,
ones.
Throwing some Jack.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah.
No, I don't throw a Mrs. Doubtfire. No, I don't need that one.
Why? Did you cancel that one?
Yeah, too transphobic. I'm out.
Okay.
I still throw on, Good Will Hunting from time to time.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That's probably his best job. You think that's his best acting job?
I would say that's probably the universal take there.
I mean, that's
at least the one that stands the test of time the most, maybe.
It's a great movie.
Although Flubber was pretty good.
I don't think Flubber ranks as I mean, I loved Flubber when I was like a kid.
But yeah.
I don't think it stands the test of time.
No?
Not like Good Will Hunting.
When's the last time you watched Flubber?
In the 90s.
then how would you know?
Or if maybe test early 2000s.
How would you know if it's standing the test of time or not?
That's a good point. I don't know. I should go watch it again, I guess.
Dead
oh,
Poets.
It's on Disney Plus. Oh,
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society.
I don't know if I ever watched that one. I've always heard of it.
Yeah, but. I don't know if I've actually ever sat down and watched it either. Really? I know that one gets a lot of respect, though. As like
that
one
was pretty good. I've actually seen that one.
It's got a lot of famous people in it, and I know it gets a lot of respect as his some of his best work. So
maybe worth seeing. God rest his soul.
If you miss him so much, you could just watch Flubber.
I don't miss him so much.
When's the new Jumanji come out? Is it out already? It's coming out soon. You go see that.
Coming up on the anniversary of Robin Williams' death. He died August 11th, 2014.
How are we coming up on the anniversary? It is December.
The new Jumanji comes out on the 13th.
Only 9 months away.
How are we coming up on
Coming up on his birthday before that, July 21st.
Yeah, right around the corner.
I mean, everything's coming up, isn't it? We're coming up on Thanksgiving 2020.
Sure.
Getting just closer each day.
Right around the corner.
Yep.
Okay. Lakers Nuggets tonight. Looking forward to it. Sorry for everyone who doesn't have League Pass and won't be able to watch it. At least you got to watch the Jazz and 76ers last night on NBA TV. And they wonder why the ratings are going down. Yeah. Last call on the other side. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.